L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
Hey, if you guys like to cook outdoors, and you oughta, you should check out the Weber Slate Rust Resistant Griddle. So this is a carbon steel cooktop that's safe for metal tools. It's pre-seasoned with food-safe oils and ready to cook on right out of the box. It's the griddle that stays ready, not rusty. This griddle heats evenly edge to edge, reaching all the way up to 500 degrees. Get fired up for your new Weber Slate Rust Resistant Griddle.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I am your host, Dan Harris. With me, of course, is Mike Tagliere. You can find us on Twitter at DanHarris80 and at Mike Tagliere NFL. Tags, how are you today?
Oh, Dan, it's good to be back, not disconnected from you. It was funny. I got to tell you a quick story real quick. So I got done. I took a shower this morning. And I brushed out my beard. So like basically I keep matting it down. I always push it against my face because I hate it, right? But I brushed it out and I looked at my son, my 3-year-old son. He looks at me. He's like, what is wrong with you? He thought there was something wrong with my face because of how bushy it is. I'm full on Ryan Fitzpatrick right now.
I will be. I mean, we podcast every day. I don't always go back and watch the YouTube videos like when we do it. Sometimes I do and stuff like that. But today, when you posted that video about the new My Primer thing, which is amazing. We'll talk about that for sure. But I saw your face. I was like, oh my God, like your beard is like, it's pretty glorious.
No, dude, I'm telling you, that's matted down with like beard oil and everything. Like, I'm telling you, if I fluff it out, it's Ryan Fitzpatrick, telling you.
Man, I mean, I'm 40 and I look forward to the day where I could grow a beard, but I'm working on it. It's fine. Anyway, we've actually got fantasy to discuss. It's the DFS show. We've got a great guest today. It's Matthew Betts, co-owner of Ball Blast Football, co-host of the Fantasy Football's Footballers DFS Pod. Find him on Twitter at TheFantasyPT. Matthew, thanks for coming on the show. How you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks so much for having me on. And, you know, Dan, I was hoping you could give me some words of encouragement. Like you, it sounds like, I struggle to grow facial hair. So you were saying by the time you're 40, you know, it might happen. I got like 10 years to get there. And I'm a little concerned at this point that it's not going to happen. So, that ship has sailed.
I'm 40 now, and I still can't do it. You know the worst part, guys? It's so bizarre. I grow like something, if we could like take away like the goatee portion of it, I'd be totes fine. I go in like, right, like the actual beard part of it. But once I get there, like it's just never come in and I keep waiting. I'm going to be like 65 and it's going to be like, look at me. Oh, I can grow like a mustache.
I'm keeping mine is that, so it's funny that you guys are bringing that up. My brother-in-law, he cannot grow a beard. Like it's patchy and everything.
Yeah.
And he's like, Mike, keep it for the guys that can't.
Yeah.
And
do it for us.
So basically I am doing it for us. And my wife is not very happy about it, but yeah. I'm trying to figure out when's a good compromise where it's like, okay, I got to shave it down now. It's got to go at some point.
Matthew and I, one day we'll have a who did it worse beard growing contest. We'll be like, what do you think, guys? We'll be like, have you started or what are you doing? Anyway. All right, whatever. Let's get into DFS today, guys. It's our usual plan. We'll start with your favorite price here, cash game play at each position. We'll discuss a couple of cash game value plays at each position. We'll do one GPP gamble at each position, a quick discussion of the defense that you guys like, and then your stack of the week and your lock of the week. But before we get into it, it's our DFS show. So let me remind you that you should be using our DFS optimizer over at fantasypros.com/optimizer. Saves you hours of research, lets you tweak your lineup as much as you want. You can lock and exclude players, create your own custom player pool, uses projections that are constantly being updated, or you can import your own custom projections, generate up to 150 lineups at a time with our multi-lineup generator. Again, that's fantasypros.com/optimizer. All right, let's get into it. And Matthew, you were the guest, so I like to start with you. Let's start with our favorite pricier cash game play of the day. Let's start with the running back position. Who are you looking at this week?
Yeah, I'm going to go with arguably the league's most efficient back, one of my favorite running backs in this league. It is Aaron Jones, and he's taking on the Detroit Lions this week. He is priced up at 7,600 on DK, 8,700 on FanDuel. But you look at this defense, guys, and we don't really need to go into a ton of detail about the metrics and how bad they are. I mean, they just let David Montgomery look like the second coming of Walter Payton last week. So I am in on Aaron Jones. Obviously, they have a huge implied total, according to Vegas. It's one of the highest over-unders on the slate. We're expecting a lot of points from the Packers this week. I'll take Aaron Jones, who's going to shred this Detroit Lions defense. Definitely paying up for him in my cash lineups.
How about you, Tags? You like Aaron Jones this week, I assume, at least in season-long. How about for DFS?
I mean, who doesn't like Aaron Jones? I love Aaron Jones. But it does seem like if you go back through the last 4 weeks with both him and Jamal Williams in the lineup, it seems like they're capping Aaron Jones at 18 touches. And it's not to say that he can't hit value on 18 touches. He absolutely can. I think he's a better tournament play, personally, and I'm saying that just because the Green Bay, what they've done, they've gotten down in the red zone and they've thrown the ball. So if Aaron Jones gets 18 touches, and even if he averages, you know, quite a bit of yards per touch, and let's say he racks up 130 total yards or something like that, that's good. But at the same time, if he doesn't find the end zone, that's going to crush you at 7,600. Someone like Derrick Henry is going to get all those goal line touches. You know, I don't want to say safer because Derrick Henry doesn't catch a whole lot of passes, even when, you know, Ryan Tannehill dropped back, 40 sometimes last week. He got one target. So that's a problem. But I have no issue with Aaron Jones. I love Aaron Jones, but I have an issue with in terms of how they're using him and how they're capping his touches, because basically Jamal Williams is the one who's seen his touches go up and down based on how many running back touches they actually get in the game. I worry about the level of competition here. So they may cap him, you know, at 16 to 18 touches, which he can produce with those, but in cash, it's like if you're paying up to 7,600, you almost need 3x this year with the way that scoring's been. And so
yeah,
you're
looking crazy.
Yeah, it's like you're looking for around, you know, at 23 PPR points. It's definitely doable. It's just I struggle a little bit just because they're capping his touches.
And so who is it for you then, Tags? Are you going to then pay the extra, $1,100 and go up to Derrick Henry at 8,700 if you're paying up at the position?
That's where I'm leaning towards right now, yeah.
I've heard he does well against Jacksonville.
I heard he does well in December as well.
Yes.
You know, I broke this down in the primer talking about how, like, his yards per carry legitimately climbs as the year goes on. The guy's just in tremendous physical shape. He averages a touchdown per game in his 18 December games. He averages 87 rushing yards. And that's, by the way, when he was a backup for, like, the first 2 years, 3 years of his career behind DeMarco friggin' Murray. But, you know, the Jaguars are a team that are, regardless of how bad the Titans defense is, the Jaguars are going to struggle to keep pace with this team. Derrick Henry is fresh coming off that game last week where he didn't play a whole lot of snaps just because, again, the game script went completely south. This is a game, this team's still in the playoff race. They know that they need to run through Derrick Henry. I fully expect this to be a game where he gets, I'm going to say, 25 plus carries. So even if he only gets targeted one time, you're probably going to hit value on those 25 carries. So, I mean, the Jaguars are a team, the defense, I should say, that's allowed 30 plus points in half of their games this year. And there have been four running backs who have totaled at least 116 rushing yards. And two of those running backs, by the way, did not even need 20 carries to get there. So Derrick Henry, it's kind of a Hulk smash type of week.
Matthew, there's an $1,100 price difference on DraftKings. Can I assume let's just go to the easy one. If they're equal prices, would you go with Henry over Jones in your lineup?
Oh, for sure. I mean, okay. It's all narrative shit, right? Yep. With like, oh, it's December and he comes out and smashes. Well, I just told you, like, before you recorded, I live in Vermont. We got like 3 inches of snow last night. So when it snows, I'm going back to Derrick Henry for sure. Yes, price considered equal. Derrick Henry is standout play this week.
Right. Okay. So let's just make that clear. Yeah, of course, Derrick Henry. Tags, out of curiosity, is he on your weekly rankings? Is he your number one running back this week?
Yeah, he's the RB1. I was debating McCaffrey just because obviously, you know, with the lack of options there, if Curtis Samuel, DJ Moore were out, I was like, he's going to get 20 plus touches. He's healthy. But then all of a sudden he pops up with a thigh injury, a new thing, and might not even play in general. So Derrick Henry's my number one.
Yeah. So look, I think, you know, and again, on FanDuel, 9,600 for Henry, 8,700 for Jones. Both those guys are good play. I'm going to do my usual thing, which because I'm going to mention him every single week, and maybe he doesn't count as the quote-unquote pricier cash game play. He's the fifth highest guy on FanDuel at least, but it is James Robinson, who's $8,000. So if you want it on FanDuel for me, you know, save money, obviously. $1,600 cheaper than Derrick Henry, $700 cheaper than Aaron Jones. It's just what he does. I still don't think necessarily he's priced appropriately. Nine of his last 11 games, either 100 yards or a score or both, none fewer than 70 total yards. He's game script proof overall. Of course, the Titans should destroy the Jaguars, although they do find a way to stay in games somehow. It may take bizarro, you know, should be intercepted balls like a tip to LaVisca Chenault, but they do want to find a way to stay involved. And he's involved, you know, once Chris Thompson went out, he's going to get the passing down work for the most part. So he is a guy who, again, I think if you're trying to save a little money, even if you're willing to pay up a running back, you want to save a little money. I'm completely fine with James Robinson, especially on FanDuel.
Would you prefer him over Aaron Jones, all things equal?
No, I don't think I'd prefer him over Aaron Jones going into the weekend. I have Jones ranked higher in my weekly rankings, but it's close enough where on DraftKings, they're what, $100 apart on that? On FanDuel, it's a $700 difference. So I'm playing Robinson in my FanDuel lineups, but all things being equal, exactly the same, I would prefer Jones slightly. What about you, Tex?
Yeah, I have Jones. I have Jones slightly higher. I mean, James Robinson, the only thing I worry about him, it's like negative correlation. You know, if you look at historic stats and say, okay, if you're going to play one running back, Derrick Henry, which we are, I am, and then you play on the running back on the other side of the ball, typically that's a negative correlation move, and you're basically capping yourself because if Derrick Henry's having a massive game, it's probably pretty unlikely that the Jaguars are running a whole lot of plays just because, you know, they're just basically running up and down the field, dragging out that clock. So
no, but you see, that's only if Derrick Henry does not average 18 yards per carry.
Also very true. And to be fair, though, there have been, I think, seven running backs who have totaled 18-plus touches against the Titans, and every single one of those guys finished as the RB17 or better in PPR format. So Robinson does have a solid floor. I mean, he's a guy that gets 95% of their touches, although it's weird that they got Dari Ogunbowale playing now. I don't know what's happening there. Maybe Bruce Arians is somewhere in disguise.
Yeah, well, they're also continuing to start Mike Glennon, so we're not going to really judge on whatever they're doing. But yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I would prefer Jones, but again, with the price difference, I play Robinson like every week in cash, and it always works out because I still, again, I think he's underpriced, and I agree, like, it is difficult to see an absolute crazy monster performance, but the floor is so incredibly high with him because, again, game script proof entirely. Let's go to wide receiver here, guys. Matthew, let's start with you. Who are you looking at your favorite pricier cash gameplay?
Yeah, it was a down week last week for this Chargers offense, you know, as a whole. Maybe predictably coming out against Bill Belichick with Justin Herbert as a rookie. And obviously, Keenan Allen didn't have a fantastic week. But this week, I'm going back to him at 7,700 on DraftKings and 8,500 on FanDuel. Taking on the Falcons, you know, we've picked on them all season as far as their secondary with our quarterbacks and with our pass catchers. Keenan Allen seeing 10-plus targets in 9 of 11 Justin Herbert starts. So the volume is there. It's very safe. And this Falcons defense under interim coach Raheem Morris is kind of like focusing what he likes to do is stop the run. Right. And so they're basically going to say, OK, throw the ball on us. Go ahead. And it's worked all season. So I like Keenan Allen this week. Obviously, it's a plus matchup. The talent is there. And I think on DraftKings, especially like the price tag, I was expecting to be higher. So I'm very comfortable going up to Keenan Allen this week if I'm paying up for a wide receiver.
How about you, Tags? Is that who you're looking at as well?
I love it. This slate is so good. There's so many options up top there. I mean, there's a lot of value options at running back. I don't know who's going to be chalked this week, to be honest with you. I love Keenan Allen. And yes, I think he's a fantastic play. You look at his price and you say 7,700. So again, we go back to that 3X idea. And you're talking like 22, 23 PPR points. Keenan Allen can hit that without scoring against this Atlanta Falcons defense. They allow 208 yards per game to wide receivers, 9.31 yards per target. Keenan Allen essentially gets at least 10 targets in every single game with Justin Herbert. So we're talking about a floor of like 100 yards receiving. You know, he's going to catch 6 to 8 balls, if not more than that. So he's hitting value in DraftKings because you do get the bonus at 100 yards. You are going to hit that without him scoring. If he scores once, maybe twice, you are getting a massive upside here. So this is a potential for a huge game because Atlanta, they have allowed the third fewest fantasy points on the ground to running backs. Not many people understand that and realize that because everybody just sees Atlanta and they say, oh, that's a bad defense. Not against the run, they're not. So they're going to throw the ball a lot. I love this call.
So I do have one question, but I like it too. And I have absolutely no problem with Allen. Because I was looking at it tags when I was thinking about, you know, where to rank Allen this week. And the thing is, he's still getting the, you know, 10 targets or whatever that he's getting. But, the last couple of games since Eckler's been back, his share is actually dipped, right? His target share is dipped because, you know, Eckler's there. So, you know, the last couple of games, Herbert has attempted 52 and 53 passes. But, you know, so the 10 targets or whatever that Allen is getting, you know, it's more like a 20% target share as opposed to the closer to 30% target share that he was getting. So that's the only thing that slightly worries me a little bit. But again, with this matchup, I think it's very difficult to get away from Allen, and he's one of my favorite plays. But that is something, Tags. Have you thought about that at all? Like, I mean, I realize it's probably going to happen regardless, but it is something that's
I do, but I also think this is a matchup that's going to dictate more pass attempts for Herbert. Even if you look past the whole 50 pass attempt idea, it's been 3 weeks straight where Herbert's attempted, I think, 49-plus pass attempts.
Yes.
He's been averaging over 40, like, all year. Like, this team runs, like, 68 to 72 plays per game. I can't remember which one it is right now. But they run a ton of plays, so I do love him. I think that we're kind of jumping ahead, but I think you could actually play Keenan Allen and Austin Eckler in a lineup this week. But I also, I don't know how you guys feel about it. DK Metcalf, fantastic play against the Jets, obviously. Bounce back performance for those guys. And then Davante Adams. How do we avoid Davante Adams, who, by the way, is on pace to almost break the all-time receptions mark for the Packers, the all-time receiving yards mark for the Packers, and all-time touchdowns mark for the Packers, despite missing 2.5 games?
Yeah, that is a good question, Matthew. I mean, let's talk to you about that, Matthew. I mean, if you are paying up at wide receiver now, there's a significant difference, right? It's $1,600 on DraftKings. But if you're like, I'm willing to spend this week at wide receiver, how do you avoid Davante Adams? It's the safest thing, you know, that really we've seen all year at the position.
Yeah, I mean, you play Aaron Rodgers, you stack him with Davante Adams, and you're guaranteed like 2 touchdowns for sure. It's right. And they're throwing the ball, like Tag said, at an extremely high rate once they get in close to the goal line. And that's where a lot of Aaron Rodgers' touchdown passes are coming from. And I don't want to spoil this, but he's my pay up for the quarterback position cash game play. So you kind of blend the two together. It just makes perfect sense. So if anyone wants to say, you know what, I like Keenan Allen, you know, I like DK Metcalf, that's fine, but I'm going in and paying up for Davante Adams, totally fine. And like you guys said, we might have a little bit of value on this slate. Like, if you need to pay down at running back, you could get to like a JD McKissick at 4,900 on DK.
Right.
Zeke apparently just popped up with a calf issue in practice today. So maybe we get Tony Pollard. Like, there's a lot of unknowns, and obviously Christian McCaffrey injured. So there's probably going to be some value that opens up on this slate at running back. If you need to get up to Davante Adams and you want to, obviously I'm not going to argue with anyone about that.
Right. So Tags, if you are paying up, are you doing what you can to get to Davante Adams, or are you, because again, there's
the answer is play both of them, play Davante Adams and Keenan Allen. Like, so this is what I do on Sunday mornings. I sit there because building your cash game lineup, you're not able to do stuff like that. You almost have to find the one guy you're going to pay up for and work your way through it. Right. But honestly, I do this on Sunday mornings. I love just sticking the guys that you're torn between, put them both in a lineup and then just say, I'm going to work my way around it. There are tons of value running backs to play this week. So if you really wanted to, you could play Davante Adams and Keenan Allen in a lineup. But if I have the cash to spend, I'm absolutely going to go to Davante Adams.
All right, let's go to quarterback here in your pricier cash game play. Spoiler alert, Matthew kind of gave his away, but I'm going to agree with that. So is Rodgers the guy if you're paying up, Matthew?
He absolutely is. I mean, what can you say? Kind of on that revenge tour narrative, right? But there's actually something to it. Like, when they're getting close, they're saying, all right, Aaron Rodgers, like, go ahead and find the end zone for us through the air. And yes, he's stackable with Davante Adams, but I love him in cash because, you know, you can get to him at his price, especially on DraftKings, $7,500. He's the quarterback 4. And now he's on FanDuel, he's the first price up quarterback. He's 9,100. So it's very expensive there. But the quarterback 4 on this slate, we talked about having some value. I think you can get up to him pretty easily, and I did it last week. Obviously, it's worked out all season. We don't really need to talk about the matchup, right? It's Detroit. The Lions are totally banged up. No Desmond Trufant. Jeff Okuda potentially out again, but it's just he's dominating right now. So what is there to say? He's a smash play every week. Absolutely comfortable paying up for him this week in cash.
Yeah, he is the most expensive. And in FanDuel, the pricing is like, they're all just like, okay, choose what you want between Roger Wilson and Mahomes. Seriously. We're going to price them identically pretty much, but he is the top-priced quarterback. How about you, Tags? If you're paying up at the position, where are you going?
I have no issue if you want to play Rodgers. I would say that the stat there is that the Packers offense, them like as a whole, have averaged 1.58 PPR points per play. That leads the league, okay? 1.58.
That's unreal.
Yeah. All right. The Lions defense allows 1.56 PPR points per offensive play to their opponents. That ranks second to only the Falcons. So it's a highly, bad. It's a highly efficient offense against a defense that's had no efficiency, basically. So I have zero issue with this, but it comes back to the argument about Aaron Jones. And I know I'm playing both sides here, and it's possible that both Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Jones go off, to be honest, because the Lions are allowing a ton of points. The Packers, I think, are projected for 31 points in this game, if I'm not mistaken. So I definitely wouldn't fault you for going to Aaron Rodgers. It was just the only concern was that if they do decide for whatever week that this is the week where they get in the red zone and they decide to run the ball with Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones, give them touchdowns. But I don't know. You're probably right in this one, though. I think I'd rather play Aaron Rodgers at 7,500 than I would Aaron Jones at his price.
Yeah. And come on, man. They got to be going for Rodgers to get this MVP, right? So you just basically like, we're in close. Let's just pad the touchdown total and let's let him throw as they get close. So who are you going to then, Tags, if it's not Aaron Rodgers?
I think Russell Wilson's in play. And I know nobody wants to play him, and I understand why. And he's more expensive than Rodgers, which is why it's a little difficult to argue this point. But bear with me here. The Jets run defense has been good. You know, Dan being the number one Jets fan in the world, can attest to this. But if you look at the last five games that the Jets have played, like, here's the finishes: QB1, QB8, QB2, QB6, QB1. Those quarterbacks included Cam Newton, Justin Herbert was in there, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Derek friggin' Carr. And now we're going to be afraid to play Russell Wilson. I mean, it may be a better tournament play just considering how high he costs, but I have Russell Wilson as the number one quarterback on the week in terms of like my rankings. So if I were paying up, I'd probably go to him. I'm not going to be paying up, though. Just to be clear, I'm not going to be paying up. But if I were, it'd probably be going to him.
Yeah, he's my number one right now on the week. I'm not 100% positive that he's going to end up there in my weekly rankings. It's very close to my projections. And again, I do my sweep on Saturday night, and so I might tweak it there. How about you, Matthew? If they were priced identically on DraftKings, Rodgers and Wilson, would you still prefer Rodgers in that case? Or is it really more about the little bit of a discount that you're getting?
I think I would probably. And, the thing with Russell Wilson, like, and it's so frustrating from just a football standpoint, is, the let Russ cook narrative was so fun, but there's some truth to it. Like, this offense has regressed in these last 3 weeks where they want to establish the run. They want to get Chris Carson going, even though he's still coming off of injury. Carlos Hyde dealing with an injury. So it's frustrating, but I'm not going to argue Russell Wilson. Like, he's incredible. Two great wide receivers, DK Metcalf. I mean, they're going to be covering with like an undrafted free agent rookie. It's going to be ugly for the defense of the Jets. So totally fine. I see the ceiling there for sure. I personally prefer him in tournaments because I think the only thing that can hold him back is his coaching staff right now, which is frustrating. But I totally love Russ this week.
All right, guys, before we move on. So with Christmas coming up, I'm still having my kids make lists, right? I think their lists really exemplify exactly what my kids are. My daughter legitimately sits there with a Target catalog and spends an hour listing off various items she wants. And after my hand has totally cramped up from writing her list for an hour, I ask my son, "What do you want, bud?" And he responds simply, "Anything Titans." Now, bear in mind, my wife's family is a Patriots family. I'm a Jets fan. And up until Tom Brady left, a Patriots loss sent my son over the edge. Now he watches one Derrick Henry touchdown run, and the kid is a Titans fan. Whatever. It makes my holiday shopping, though, really, really easy. Because step one, go to pristineauction.com. Step two, search Tennessee Titans in the search bar. Step three, sort through the more than 100 items up for bid. That's it. Oh, an AJ Brown signed mini helmet? A Corey Davis signed jersey for $44? It's all coming your way, Mini Harris. Seriously. PristineAuction.com. Thousands of auctions every single day. It is free to register. It is free to bid. Go to PristineAuction.com. See for yourself. PristineAuction.com. You want $5 in free credits? Use our code FANTASYPROS in the registration field when you sign up. They will know we sent you. Again, that's PristineAuction.com. Use our code FANTASYPROS. All right, let's go to tight end. If you are paying up at the position, who is it going to be, Matthew?
All right, my disclaimer for this is that I literally never pay up for tight end in cash formats. I pretty much try to punt the position, look for like 3 for 30 and a touchdown and pay someone cheap. But for this segment, I'm going to go with TJ Hockenson. I've talked a lot about that Green Bay-Detroit game, and it's the highest over-under on the slate, the main slate, and I like it a lot for that reason. But I think we're going to see Matthew Stafford have to open up, the playbook a little bit with Darrell Bevell. They've seen that, last year when they were kind of letting him push the ball downfield. Obviously, it benefited the pass catchers quite a bit. It happened last week. Will it happen again? We'll see. But Green Bay, of course, strongest on the perimeter with Jair Alexander and company. A little bit weaker over the middle of the field where TJ Hockenson lives. So at 5,000 on DraftKings. If I'm paying up for a tight end, I think he'd be the guy. 50 plus yards and or a touchdown in 11 of 12 games this season. Been really consistent.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially with Kenny Galladay almost certain to miss this game. Again, Tags, how about you? Who are you paying for if you're going up there?
I'm not paying up. That's just being completely honest here. If I were, I guess it would be to Travis Kelce just because, well, he's Travis Kelce. Yep. And two, like he's on pace to shatter the record by George Kittle, by the way. And if you guys don't think that players actually don't know this stuff, I think you're wrong. I think they do know it. And Travis Kelce has had, what is it, like three straight 100-yard games now? Is that what he's had? It's kind of ridiculous what he's been doing. It's actually three of the last four games. But he's received at least eight targets in those four games, double-digit targets in three of those. So Miami is a tougher matchup for tight ends, but that doesn't matter to Travis Kelce. If you look at what he's done against the Raiders, like the Raiders, outside of Travis Kelce, they have allowed one tight end to top 9 PPR points all year. Kelce against them scored 26 and 24. Like, that's with no bonus, by the way. Like, it's kind of ridiculous just how good he is and, you know, what he brings to the offense. So if I were to pay up, it'd be for Kelce.
All right. I mean, I can't possibly argue with that. Tags, out of curiosity, where would Kelce go next year in redraft formats?
Like what round?
Yeah.
I think that he's worth it at the tail end. I'll say the beginning of the second round.
That's the incorrect answer. It's going to be for the end of the first round, but I appreciate you trying. Let's go to cash game value plays. Let's go to you, Matt. I'm sorry. I just do that all the time. I'm just terrible to tags, even though he's a genius. Cash game value plays. Let's go to you, Matthew. Start at the running back position. Who do you got?
Yeah, for sure. I'm going to go back to David Montgomery this week. The schedule coming up for this Bears offense is fantastic. Now, is it a good offense in general? It's been bad this season, guys. Like, honestly, it's been quite bad. But David Montgomery, ever since Tariq Cohen tore his ACL, is just getting so much volume, and he's not really priced up like the other backs that are going to get 18 to 25 opportunities in this game. Going up against Houston, we know that is a defense that we can attack with our running backs. He is a little bit more pricey relative to cost on DK. Still fine to get to him at 6,500, but on FanDuel, he's a standout play because of how cheap he is. $6,600 over there. Very, very affordable. So on cash or in cash lineups on FanDuel, I like David Montgomery quite a bit.
He was also my guy, certainly on FanDuel. I mean, look, you can't really deny it. We saw the last 2 weeks, and he has the high floor, as you mentioned, with his involvement in the passing game. What about you, Tex? I think we both talked about Montgomery last week, right?
Yes, Montgomery was definitely, he was like the lock play, wasn't he? I think.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think that he's the lock play. I mean, I don't want to say he's my lock this week, but I do think that he should be locked in. The Texans have allowed 185.7 total yards per game to running backs, more than any other team in the league, including the Lions, who he just dismantled. Yeah, there's no argument that you could use against David Montgomery except that the Bears suck, and they do, but he's still playable.
Yeah. All right. Anybody else tags for a cash game value play, running back, or is it like this is Montgomery?
There's three other running backs that I would consider. I'm gonna run through them, and I want you guys to give your thoughts on them, because it's like this is the territory where I think there's so much value. You're gonna have to pick like which ones you're playing. Wayne Gallman at 5,700. Wayne Gallman has been a stud. I think people like need to stop and just say, all right, I know he's Wayne Gallman, but like legit, look at the defenses he's played. Look at the finishes he's had. That guy deserves RB1 consideration right now. Like, he's playing lights out. He's doing fantastic. In the matchup against Arizona, ever since losing Corey Peters at the middle, they have actually been allowing a lot of rushing production. So I like him a lot. Miles Gaskin at 5,600 against the Chiefs. I mean, Gaskin is the three down back there. He's getting tons of work. I worry a little bit about his fumble at the end of last week's game, where he kind of gave them the ball back, but they made it through. But 5,600 for a guy that should get 20 touches against a KC defense, that is just not good. And then JD McKissic at 4,900, a guy that, you know, is being targeted like a wide receiver. I mentioned it on the Start Sit show yesterday that McKissic has more targets than Jerry Jeudy since week four. Yeah. It's just stupid at this point.
Yeah. All right. So, Matthew, give me your thoughts on those guys. You had Wayne Gallman, Miles Gaskin, and JD McKissic.
Tags, you are reading my mind right now. I have all those names literally written down on my sheet of paper right here. Love them. Love all those guys. I think they're great values. I actually have Gallman listed as my GPP gamble play for running back, so we can talk about him here right now. He's been awesome. I mean, he's Wayne Gallman, so I feel like there's a stigma about playing him in DFS, but he's been so good. Like, he has been a running back one since he took over that job. And, you know, Arizona, like you said, with the injuries, has just been so easy to be run on. 29th, according to PFF, in run defense grade. So, yeah, Wayne Gallman's a workhorse back. He's 5,700 on DK. Very, very affordable. I like him a lot, especially in tournaments. I feel like no one's going to play him.
Yeah, and, you know, the thing about Gallman is the matchup, as it is good, Tags, as you mentioned, it doesn't matter. I mean, right? He is, for the vast majority, he has been succeeding against difficult run defenses. And again, had a big game last week and could have been so much bigger. You know, Alfred Morris wound up scoring two of the touchdowns, but it could have been huge. I love Gallman. Absolutely is a guy who I'm looking to play in, you know, both cash and tournaments, frankly. I think you can play him in either. Let's go to wide receiver here. Who's a cash game value play that you're looking at this week, Matthew?
All right. I'm going to go with the cheaper of the two that I have listed here. This is gross. I'm going to go with Rashad Perryman, but there's news out of New York, and I hate playing Jets receivers, but Denzel Mims, obviously dealing with a family matter right now, based off of the COVID protocols, it looks like he's unlikely to play this week, leaving Rashad Perryman pretty much and Jameson Crowder as the only two options there, essentially, that we trust in terms of pass catchers for the Jets. We expect Russell Wilson to succeed in this matchup. Obviously, the Jets are going to have to throw the football. At $3,900 on DraftKings for Rashad Perryman against the Seattle defense, when you're punting wide receiver, you don't really need them to do much. You know, Tags has talked about that 3X, or if it's this cheap, maybe even 2X gets you there. But at 4,000, basically, is $3,900. You need him to get like 8 points, and you're like, okay, that's fine, because I'm going to pay up for Davante Adams, or I'm going to pay up for Keenan Allen, and the rest of these guys are going to carry me into a cashing lineup. He's cheap. He's going to see targets. Totally fine with Rashad Perryman this week, but I'm not going to lie. It's kind of gross.
Oh, yeah. But saying, you know, to recommend someone and then say it's gross is kind of what we do on this show.
There you go.
But it's funny that you brought that up, because I probably would not have, because I did essentially recommend all three Jets wide receivers last week, and one of them worked out, so it's fine. But Mims was a guy when I...
That's the strategy, Dan.
That's the strategy, always.
I would play all these wide receivers,
recommending Jets, as we know, always really works out. But it's funny that you mentioned it, Matthew, because Mims was a guy that when I was like starting my projection process, I was like, oh God, I don't want to have Mims here. I don't want to rank Mims here. But I do think the fact that it does sound like he's likely to miss this game. Again, I don't know exactly what's going on with this family concerns necessarily, but reading, you know, between the lines, it does sound like he's going to miss this game. Does make Perryman somebody you're like, oh man, at this price, I might be willing to look at. Tags, noted Jets hater. What do you think of that? Is that crazy?
Noted Jets hater. I'm not a Jets hater. I'm an Adam Gase hater.
I know. I do. Yeah, that's true.
I have Perryman on my list. I have quite the list, man. Value plays this week. Like, that's why I said I love this slate. This is one of the slates. Like, the last two, I could say that I sat down and I kind of looked at it and I was like, I feel gross. This week, I don't. I love this slate, and I'm going to love diving into these guys as the week goes on. Like, someone like Robbie Anderson is definitely someone that we should be paying attention to, what's going on with DJ Moore. But, you know, as Charge talked about on the show yesterday, Denver, you know, their cornerback situation is dire. You know, AJ Bouye out of the lineup, you know, they struggled earlier in the season when he was out of the lineup. And then Bryce Callahan, who had arguably been playing just as good as AJ Bouye, out. Saying Bessie, out. Like, they have no one there. And if Curtis Samuel doesn't even make it back to the lineup, and Christian McCaffrey does, where are these targets going? It's like Robbie Anderson's a guy that he's an auto start in redraft league. So why should we not consider him at 6,200 on DraftKings? I like him quite a bit.
Yeah, I'll get your thoughts on that in a second, Matthew. I will say that legitimately, as we're recording this, a Jets beat writer just tweeted out that Mims is out for this weekend officially. So it is something where that does make Perryman somebody who's a little more attractive. Okay, so what do you think about that, what Tex was talking about there, Matthew?
Yeah, love it. Absolutely. Robbie Anderson, for sure, is a great play this week. You know, you talked about just like who's catching the football. That's really what it comes down to. And we've seen Robbie Anderson have these spiked weeks before where he's getting a ton of volume and he hits a huge ceiling. So yeah, against the secondary, I mean, they're playing all backup corners essentially right now against really good wide receivers. And Robbie Anderson is a good wide receiver. So I'm in. I definitely like that call a lot.
Okay. Matthew, do you have anybody else there, a wide receiver that you're looking at as a cash game value play?
I do. I have one more on my list here. I have Corey Davis going up against Jacksonville. I feel like our listeners know that this Jacksonville defense is bad, so I'm going to save you the stats on that. We know
what?
That.
What?
Yeah, breaking news on the show. But the thing that I want to talk about mostly about the value, and his price did come up a little bit last week after a huge, huge game, he's still affordable. But when you look at A.J. Brown and Corey Davis, I mean, it's the Spider-Man gif pointing at each other right now, right? Like, these two receivers, how I love A.J. Brown. I'm not here to say anything negative about that guy. He's fantastic. But Corey Davis has been exceeding expectations this year. He's essentially producing at the exact same level as A.J. Brown, and in some categories, even better. And so no one sees it as that way, but I just want to give people the nudge, like, Corey Davis is totally fine in this matchup against Jacksonville. Obviously, they're allowing a ton of fantasy points to wide receivers. 5,800 on DraftKings to me is a play that you can fit him in your lineup if you want to pay up for some studs.
Yeah, tags. I feel like we talk about Corey Davis every week. I mean, is there any worry, though, I guess, for either one of you guys? I can start with you, Matthew, about, given the fact that we expect Derrick Henry to run 75 times for 800 yards in this game, does that leave production for Corey Davis here?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's definitely a possibility. I do think with that kind of understanding, I will play Corey Davis in cash, but I also think he's a standout play in tournaments for that reason, because we know everyone is gonna open up their phone or their computer, and they're gonna see Derrick Henry's name against Jacksonville, and they're gonna say, yes, please.
Right.
And so I think if we're looking at this game script, maybe for whatever reason, Derrick Henry goes for 80 yards and doesn't find the end zone. Now, that's probably not likely, but if it does, Tannehill is going to get there with his pass catcher. So I think they're probably much better tournament plays this week. So I definitely could see that scenario, but I do think he's viable in cash as well. Definitely love him though in tournaments.
Yeah, you mentioned the Spider-Man gif. I mean, that really is what these guys are. And again, we will not allow anyone to even make any remotely negative implication about A.J. Brown on this show. He is a favorite of the podcast for sure. And you weren't, of course, you made that clear. But yeah, they basically have the same targets over the last, five games. Like, this is just what they are. So Tags, how do you feel this week about Corey Davis?
I don't dislike this call at all. I mean, 5,700, you're getting a discount on him in terms of his production, what it's been. We do worry about game script a little bit, which is something that I'm always weary about in cash games. What I want to watch is AJ Brown's practice participation. If you were watching that game like I was last week, when AJ Brown rolled that ankle, it did not look good. And he hopped off the field. And I know he came back into the game, but there's been times where, like, Mike Evans was someone that played through an ankle injury, and then the next week he was almost doubtful for that game and didn't play extremely well, because ankles, the way they work, like, if you guys have ever played sports, basketball, whatever, you roll your ankle and it's, you can kind of work through it, but then the next day you wake up and you're like, oh crap, it's terrible. But that's, so I do want to watch that, because that would play into it a little bit. I think that I would rather, if I had the 500 to spend, I can get up to Robbie Anderson. I would do that. I also think if Curtis Samuel gets cleared, 5,200, he's a good play. But Corey Davis is, I'm happy for that dude. Like, it happened with his brother earlier this year. With him, the Titans not picking up his option and him being a free agent this offseason, I really wonder how that's going to play out. I'm happy for him as a human being and as a football player.
Yeah, also, Tags, I mean, you've kind of championed him just generally as a player for the last couple of years. You've always been one of his biggest proponents. So it's really great to see him succeeding right now. Tags, any other cash game value plays at wide receiver that you want to talk about that we haven't touched on yet?
Oh, man, there's definitely some guys that I'm going to work through as the week goes on. Dan, I am legit shocked that you have not brought up a name. It is your law firm partner, Tim Patrick.
Oh, he's on my list. I'm not kidding. I assumed you were going to bring him up this week because he's such a...
I was leaving that for you, dude. This is your call. This is Tim Patrick.
My job is to just tee it up for the brilliant human beings who are on this show and to make sure that we come in at a reasonable time. So I just sort of pop in every now and then, but for the most part, I'm leaving it to you.
You know what's weird? I just realized you like Logan Thomas. He has two first names. You like Tim Patrick. He has two first names. Do you like Logan Ryan?
I like anybody Dan Harris. Like, Harris is a first name. Like, that's where I roll. All right. That's how I go. I mean, when I really struggle is somebody like Mike Williams, right? Because, like, Williams isn't
Mike
really
William,
a first name,
right?
But it sort of is, right? Because you could do that, right? My son is named Will, and sometimes I call him Wills. Those are the types of guys where I can't analyze objectively from a fantasy perspective. But Tags, Tim Patrick, he is somebody, right? It's funny. There were two guys on my list. up for wide receiver cash game value plays. One was Corey Davis. The other one was Tim Patrick. But I figured, you know, whatever. I'm not going to slow the show down. Now I have for 10 minutes. But Zach, talk about Tim Patrick. Patrick is a guy who you're willing to roll with in cash this week, right?
I don't know. I think I'd probably go down to Perriman, to be honest with you, over him. Just because Perriman, you're saving a couple $100s. And now that we know that Denzel Mims is out, the target should be there for him. It's a good matchup against Seattle. You know, Patrick, I was liking him a little bit more if we knew that Dante Jackson was going to miss another game. Because Dante Jackson, with him out, Troy Pride was like forced into his starting spot, and he's been just abused in coverage. So that's something I'm paying attention to, because I don't think Dante Jackson's like an auto play this week. It's something I'm paying attention to as the week goes on. But it's more about Drew Lock really than anything. And I know that Tim Patrick's overcome that. He has finished
right. It's the whole year tags. Like Drew Lock's been playing this way the entire year. It doesn't matter. He produces every week.
Yeah. If we were to exclude the game where the Broncos played without a quarterback, Tim Patrick has finished as a top 36 wide receiver in 7 of 9 games this year.
Yep.
That's really freaking good. I mean, the Panthers have been better against the pass than I anticipated them to be, but...
And don't forget, he got thrown out of one of those games, Tags, as well. Remember, he got chucked early of that one, where he was 4 for 61 or whatever it was. Tim Patrick, my hero, my accountant, absolutely. No, I agree. And on FanDuel, he's cheaper than... Now, I'm going to have to reassess... Because my projections, sort of when I did my rankings, they took into account both Mims and Perriman playing. Now that Mims is officially declared out, like, Perriman's going to bump up. But for right now, I do have Patrick ranked ahead of both those guys. And he's cheaper than Perriman, I believe, on FanDuel. If I'm not correct, he's $400 cheaper. So he's in my lineups that I've made so far. But I appreciate you bringing him up, Tags. And I appreciate you yelling at me for not bringing him up yet. I'm just trying to tee it up for you.
I appreciate you, my friend.
I appreciate you and your beard. Let's go to quarterback here. Let's go to a cash game value play for you. Matthew, who do you have?
Yeah, I'm going to go basically based off price right now. And it's on DraftKings $5,700 for Matt Ryan. It is very cheap. We're not expecting him to do a ton with that salary. And like if you're going down at quarterback, you know, it allows you to get up to those more expensive wide receivers, running backs, etc. So it's a good way to save cash. And the argument for Matt Ryan is, you know, on DraftKings especially, he's just always a threat to hit that 300-yard bonus. You look at this Chargers and Atlanta game. I'm expecting a potentially high-scoring game in this contest. We talked about it a lot with Justin Herbert and Keenan Allen. Love that stack this week. And then you look at the other side of the ball, you know, Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley, obviously two stud wide receivers. So Matt Ryan can get there. And the thing with, you know, this offense is like right now, you know, Todd Gurley's injured, Ito Smith's in concussion protocol. Like we saw the Brian Hill experiment, and you know, just like every year, there's like one week where Brian Hill just burns everyone.
But then he's supposed to come up and just surprise you in a week where nobody's ranking him or playing him, and then he scores two touchdowns or something like that. But yes, Brian Hill does this every single year.
100%. And so, you know, I'm not going to trust Brian Hill if he gets to start. The best chance the Falcons have in this matchup is to throw the football with Matt Ryan. So at $5,700, he is a salary saver this week at quarterback.
I really like him on DraftKings based on this price. He's too expensive on FanDuel because I looked at him there as well, but he's $7,300 on FanDuel. I'm just not going to pay that at that point, given what the other options are there. But at DraftKings, I think you said, right, $5,700, I believe.
Yep.
That's a good price for him. Again, they throw, you know, they pass a ton inside the red zone with Julio and Calvin Ridley, both healthy, and just, you know, what's going on with that running game. So, Tags, talk about Matt Ryan briefly. And then I know you said that this was not a week that you were going to pay up a quarterback, I think.
No,
so you
it's can not. Give your names as well. So to be fair, my guy is not dirt cheap. He's not Matt Ryan cheap, but I'm playing the quarterback on the other side of the ball. I am going 100% back to Justin Herbert. If you were to tell me that Justin Herbert finishes the QB1 this week, I'd be like, yeah, I see it. I could actually see it right now. I put him at number 2 in my quarterback rankings for the week, and then I was like, I can't put him over Mahomes.
Right.
Get out of there. So I put him at 3. So I'm still obviously super high on him right now.
So you're starting Herbert over Aaron Rodgers this week.
I would, yeah.
Okay. All
right. I this all comes back to the idea that Rodgers can't – something can happen there, right? Atlanta does not allow production on the ground. They don't. So Austin Ekeler, you know, Kalen Ballage, those guys are not going to get it done on the ground this week. It's going to come through the air. Sure, I don't care if they're targeting Austin Ekeler. That's perfectly fine with me. I'd love that. Target Mike Williams, target Keenan. This Falcons team, they don't generate a pass rush. They don't have the cornerback talent to hang with these wide receivers or running backs for that matter. Herbert, I mean, again, I talked about the Lions earlier. I talked about here. This is the best way for me to sum this up. If they're not going to get it done on the ground, where is this production going to come from? This is the easiest way. The Lions, I talked about the Lions and Aaron Rodgers earlier. Aaron Rodgers and the Packers are averaging 1.58 PPR points per offensive play. The Falcons are allowing 1.60. So essentially, if you just play the entire opponent against the Atlanta Falcons every single week, you are getting Aaron Rodgers type production. So when you take Justin Herbert, a guy that's thrown 50 plus passes over the last 3 weeks, and you add him against that team, the team that's not really running the ball particularly well, there's explosion potential here. And on top of that, the reason I like Herbert and Cash is because he does have that mobility to his game. We've seen him rush a little bit. That's another positive to this matchup. The Falcons have allowed the third most rushing yards to quarterbacks, and they've also allowed 6 rushing touchdowns to them, which is the most in the NFL. I love Justin Herbert this week.
All right, Matthew, what do you think here? Because, you know, Herbert sort of falls into that gray area where he's
you
not
You said
like
I could do whatever I wanted, Dan.
No. This was not a criticism. This was merely me teeing it up for Matthew to opine. He's not like that super expensive guy. He's not kind of the dirt cheap guy. He's just like right in the middle there. And how do you feel about him at 6,800?
He's underpriced. Absolutely underpriced. Tags, this is creepy, man. Like, I feel like we're saying the exact same thing every time. In the Fantasy Footballers DFS pass, I read up the Vegas preview. So, like, looking at the totals and the spreads and implied points and all that stuff. And I wrote in there, literally, I was like, Justin Herbert is likely to finish as the top scoring quarterback on this slate. And you just said that exact same thing. So, I love him this week. He's one of my favorite tournament plays. You can stack him with anyone, right? Hunter Henry, Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, Austin Eckler. Like, you can build a huge Chargers stack. And obviously, Justin Herbert is at the center of it. No negatives to say about this guy. Love him this week.
I love it. Everybody's in agreement. Then let's go to tight end. Who is a cash game value play that you're looking at the position, Matthew?
There's a right answer here, Matthew. Yeah, you better get this one. We better be on the same page.
Oh, no.
Oh, gosh. Pressure. All right, I'm nervous because I have 2 written down, so I don't want to say the wrong one. But
all right, you can say both. You can say both, and tags will count if you get the right answer with one of them. I'm making that rule.
All right, well, I like to punt at the tight end position, and essentially, to me, that's anything less than $3,000 on DraftKings. Most people do not realize Cole Kmet is the tight end 1 for the Bears. Now, it's a little bit of a scary situation when you have Mitch Trubisky at quarterback, and this Bears offense, we talked about it, has not been great. But at $2,900 on DraftKings, you're expecting him to get what, like 3 for 50 and you're good to go? Like, I mean, maybe that's too much for yardage, but 4 for 50 or whatever for Cole Kmet against Houston. Obviously, we talk about the secondary week after week. They're not good. Cole Kmet is playing 70% or more of the snaps in 3 straight weeks. He saw 7 targets last week. If I'm punting for a huge value at tight end, to me, he's the play this week.
Tags. Cole Kmet was not your guy.
No, he's not, because we actually talked about that with Charch. Now, it worries me, though, because we had Charch. Now, we have Matthew on the show, and both of them have talked about Kmet. Am I off on this, Dan?
That means he's okay. He's going to go for, like, 2 for 12.
Yeah, that's good.
100%.
Tags, where do you have Kmet, out of curiosity, for your weekly rankings? Where do you have him ranked?
I think I have him at tight end 21. I'm looking right now. Oh, 23. Tight end 23.
Yeah. Well, you're low. I mean, you're too low on him. So, yes, to the extent that is, you are missing it. But he's not a guy who, I mean, I have him 17th, which is the highest I've ever had Cole Kmet,
right,
you know, in a single week. I don't know. I don't think I'm where both Charge and Matthew are yet with him. Like, I'm not necessarily will. I mean, he's 2,900 on DraftKings, so it's fine. But yes, Tags, in effect, you are a little too low on him. You are blinded by your Bears hatred. Who is the right answer then, Tags? What's the right answer then, a cash game value?
So there's actually a lot of value plays, but the one that I'm considering a value. So to be fair, I might be in that gray area again.
That's fine.
I am going to go to Hunter Henry at 4,400.
Yes, I really wish I had called it out before that, because we fought over Hunter Henry at the start. So go ahead.
Yeah, no, Henry, he's been a guy that's been getting targets all year long. It was just the third time this year, last week, where he didn't see at least 6 targets in a game. So he's been heavily targeted all year long. Last week was just, forget last week. It was an anomaly. It was just throw it out the window. It's just a bad game for Herbert. But I, against the Falcons, you know, they just allowed a resurgence by Jared friggin' Cook last week. This team, from an efficiency standpoint, the Falcons allow the second most PPR points per target. That's 2.28 PPR points per target. Just to throw out the comparison to the Cardinals last year, who everybody played the tight end every single week against them, and it was profitable. They allowed 2.32 PPR points per target. So they're right in that same vicinity as those guys. There have been 7 tight ends who have finished with 5+ targets against the Falcons, which we pretty much should know Henry should get. 6 of those tight ends have finished as the tight end 11 or better, which just gives you the floor you want out of a tight end. And obviously there's a ceiling to be had with him as well. So I love Hunter Henry this week.
Yep, Matthew, we all kind of talked about how we're expecting Justin Herbert to have a big week this week. So how do you feel about Hunter Henry?
I've lost money this year on Hunter Henry, so I've actually been burnt multiple times. But I've gone to him, you know, several weeks this year, so the outlook for him says, yes, play him. I mean, we talked about it with this matchup with Atlanta. Obviously, it's fantastic. If we're expecting Justin Herbert to do great things, Hunter Henry is certainly in play. So, yeah, I think he's definitely viable. But like I said, my strategy in cash lineups typically is to just punt the position and hope for like 5 points and move on. So I typically don't pay up to those like 4,000 to 5,000 type guys on DraftKings. So I probably won't play him in cash, but that means, you know, he's going off for like 7 yards of a touchdown this week.
So who is your other guy, Matthew?
My other guy was a man that we like to refer to on the Fantasy Footballers DFS show as Robert Tonyan Harding, Bobby Tonyan, at 4,200 on DK. He's kind of in that range again. I don't love paying up for him, but he's got a touchdown in 3 straight weeks. To me, he's just, you know, he's a tight end that gets usage down the field, which we don't really see for anyone not named Travis Kelce or Darren Waller. Like, he's just being used in a way that his role and his air yards are great. He's being able to kind of push the ball down the field. And obviously, we talked about this matchup. I think it's clear that our listeners should know to play people against Detroit. So I'm going back to him this week if I am paying up in that range for a tight end.
Tags, how are you feeling about Tonyan?
Tonyan's a difficult one for me to project because he's not a guy that's seeing a whole lot of targets. You know, like Hunter Henry's been seeing a lot of targets, but Tonyan, he's not up there in targets. Like, he's never seeing a whole lot of targets, but he's catching everything, and he has Aaron Rodgers throwing into him. And then you factor in that Detroit teams, in terms of target share, teams target their tight ends against them. I think it's just 11.7% of the time, which is just really, really weird. You start thinking about it, and you're like, okay, is this because of the scheme, or is it because of the competition they've had, or whatever the case is? That's what I don't really know how to treat him, but he's been so efficient. I understand why people want to. I think he's a better tournament play personally, just because of he's getting that low target volume. And if there's so many avenues for the Packers to score points in that game, maybe that's why teams haven't actively targeted their tight ends against the Lions, because again, they do have plus matchups everywhere. They're down their top two cornerbacks with Desmond Trufant, Jeffrey Okuda. He's been out. So I just think there's so many plus matchups in the Packers, because these are going to be right. It's almost like Dan saying the Jets last week. It's just say play all the Packers and you're going to be right, like probably like on 75% of them. But the one that I would pick would be the wrong one, 100%.
Right. I think that's fair to do. Okay, let's get to a GPP gamble at the position. Let's start with running back. Who do you have, Matthew?
Yeah, I don't want to go back to what we already said, but I had listed here Wayne Gallman. He's one of my favorite plays this week in GPPs because he's kind of in that dead zone. Like, I don't know about you guys, but I feel like most of the time when I look at these prices and kind of look at constructing a lineup, like most people will be like, okay, I want at least one stud running back. I want maybe one that's like mid-tier, like a 6,000+ on DraftKings. And then like at least one or two stud wide receivers, and I'll figure it out from there. But Wayne Gallman is a guy who saves you salary. He's got a ceiling that no one really thinks he does. And I just feel like in tournaments, like, he's going to come in sub 10% rostered. So to me, that just screams GPP play. I like him quite a bit this week.
How about you, Tex? How do you feel about that?
I mean, I love Gallman. You won't have me argue with that. The only thing I worry about is Daniel Jones if he comes back. Does the offense move smooth? Is Kyler Murray back to being Kyler Murray? Do they put up points on the board? Because then all of a sudden it's like, you know, they're going to put Deion Lewis in the field and I'm just going to get aggravated. But I have zero issue with Gallman. I think he's better in cash because I think he's a safer floor. The ceiling is what worries me. Like, would you think about going to someone like Ezekiel Elliott in tournaments? That's who I wanted to bring up, just because Zeke, I mean, he was a guy that, you know, earlier this year, if he popped up at 6,600, we would have been like, what? What happened? Did someone die? I guess someone did in his lineup, but either way, the Bengals, I mean, we've played 12 games to this point. The Bengals have allowed 8 different running backs to finish as the RB9 or better. So 75% of the running backs that have played against them have finished as a top 10 running back. This is a week where the Cowboys are actually favored. So I think this could be a Zeke week where it's like, you know, he makes up for the touchdown, because I think he's only scored once since week 5, if I'm not mistaken, on the ground. So Zeke in tournaments.
Yeah. And again, he's, you know, monitored the injury, because I think, Matthew, you mentioned earlier that he had a calf injury that he was dealing with in practice. But he was pretty impressive. I don't know about you guys watching that game against the Ravens. He ran well. He looked pretty impressive for me. And again, the matchup doesn't really get all that much better. And yeah, it's rare that they're a favorite at this point. So I don't hate that call at all, Tex. How about wide receiver, guys? Let's go to a GPP gamble. What do you got, Matthew?
All right. You know, I like those gross wide receivers who we tend to kind of look past in DFS. I'm going to go back to DJ Chark this week in GPPs. You know, the game environment is just so good, and we're projecting Derrick Henry to come out and run all over this defense. And the game script and the Vegas total says, all right, Jacksonville, try to keep up with Tennessee. Tennessee, man, their defense is just, like, as good as their offense is as far as efficiency, their defense is equally as bad. Exhibit A, Rashard Higgins, Jarvis Landry, Donovan Peoples-Jones. I mean, just went bananas on this team last week. And we've seen a ceiling with DJ Chark this year already. He went 8-for-95-2 against the Bengals, 7-for-146-1 against the Texans. So he has those big weeks. 7 targets last week, only turning them into 2 receptions. So there is concern about the quarterback play, of course, with Jacksonville, but he's a guy who I think gets overlooked a lot in tournaments, and, you know, for good reason. He's not like the standout play, but I think if you want to differentiate yourself and go with a game stack with Tennessee and Jacksonville, he's one of those guys that I think will be not quite popular in tournaments that could have a pretty big ceiling.
Tags, what do you think about most frustrated wide receiver of all time, DJ Chark? I mean, just watch him play a game and watch the quarterback throw him the ball, and poor guy, I feel for him. I want to give him like a virtual hug half the time. But how do you feel about Chark and GPP?
I had 5 players down on my tournament list. He was one of them.
You guys are so in sync today. I love it.
I definitely dig that one. He's definitely not a cash play because he's been so incredibly frustrating to roster. If you play in redraft leagues, you obviously know all about that. You have not got anything close to what you thought you were going to get out of him this year. But in this matchup, tons of production. The Titans are leaking production to wide receivers. So I definitely dig the Chark call there.
All right. Who else you got, though, Tex?
Mike Evans at 6,600. Chris Godwin got a screw removed out of his hand this week. He's missed some practice time a little bit. The matchup against Minnesota has been a little bit tougher in the slot. Mike Evans has been moved around a lot, actually, in the offense. They're trying to find ways to get him the ball, and he's been getting targeted a ton. His $6,600 price tag is not reflective of that, so I think he's a value. I think that Tyler Lockett is someone that's a tournament play only. I am blown away that his price is still $7,200.
I know.
Like,
why? It's crazy.
They're not doing us any favors over there.
No, and that's why he's not going to be heavily owned, though, I think. But against the Jets, yeah, I definitely dig him in tournaments. But going further down, I like Mike Williams a lot. And when you think about tournaments, especially if you go into like these large tournaments, you need a leverage play off someone else. You know, Keenan Allen should be somewhat chalky this week, I would think, considering his $7,700 price tag. Mike Williams is a guy that can come down. He can score 3 touchdowns any game. You know what I mean? That dude is just a big, massive body that it's hard to stop him. The targets have been there too. Like, he's been getting targets. Unfortunately, they just played some tough matchups as of late. So Mike Williams, priced at 4,700 as a guy that has averaged 6.8 targets per game over the last 6 games. I think he's definitely someone I would consider in tournaments.
I like it. All right, let's go to quarterback here. Who's a GPP play for you in tournaments, Matthew?
Let's keep it rolling with the roll right off of Tag's guy, Mike Evans. I'm going to go with Thomas Edward Patrick Brady, $6,900 on DK. He's kind of in that price where you might look and be like, he's a little expensive, I'm not sure. But coming out of the bye, and this is kind of a little narrative street, but coming out of the bye, like when you just watched them against the Chiefs 2 weeks ago, the offense kind of looked a little dysfunctional, didn't look right, and they've kind of had time where, you know, it's a long season. Like, going to week 13 for your bye week, like there's not a lot of time to get things sorted out. So I think we could see a much better efficient offense with the Bucs coming out of the bye week here, going up against Minnesota. It's got a high over under at 52.5 points. Minnesota's allowed the 12th most fantasy points to the quarterback position. Tampa Bay is a team that I want to be aggressively stacking in DFS this week in tournaments. I don't love him in cash, but in tournaments, I don't think anyone's going to click the button on TB12, so I'm going to go with him this week.
I love the call because I do think that he's in for a big game, and I do not think that he's going to be particularly highly owned in this one, given where his price is, given relative to, you know, the other quarterback. So Tags, real quick, Tom Brady in GPPs, how do you feel?
He was one of 3 quarterbacks I had on my list.
What a surprise. Stop sharing your list.
I'm just going to come out right now. I stole Matthew's list before the show. I definitely did. Yes.
Clearly.
Love Brady. I have him. So my rankings, and like, I basically had to like go back and look at that game. Cause it, you know, Dan, when we publish our rankings on Fantasy Pros, we can compare it with the expert consensus ranking. So it pops up and it tells you you're higher on this guy. And then there's like, You are way too high on this guy. I got that today.
Did you get that? Did you get the, are you sure you meant to do this ranking? Because that's always my favorite. I'm like, yes, stop yelling at me. This is what I want to do.
Yeah, no, I have Tom Brady up at number six on the week. And I could make the argument to put him at five too. But yeah, I do like Brady. Obviously a pocket passer that you have to worry about coming off some bad performances. But against Minnesota, that defense is struggling, man. They have, and they don't have the cornerbacks to hang with those wide receivers. So I think Brady's someone that not only is a great tournament play, he's an easy guy to stack because, you know, Antonio Brown is cheap. Mike Evans is much lower priced than he should be. I'm not a huge Godwin guy this week. I think Godwin's like the safest play. He's more of like a cash guy than he is tournament. But yeah, I definitely like Brady.
All right. So who else though, Tags? You had two other guys. Who are
they? It's going back to the leverage idea and saying that you want to go against the flow. And I understand that Derrick Henry is going to be pretty heavily owned this week and rightfully so. But you have to say the other end of that. You have to say, okay, well, you know, people played Derrick Henry last week. And what happened? Ryan Tannehill basically, you know, he won people a lot of money. I like Ryan Tannehill at 6,700. Ryan Tannehill is not. He's not unable to have a good game if Derrick Henry's going off, by the way. I think people forget that. I did a side-by-side comparison earlier this season, putting those guys next to each other in Derrick Henry's big games and Ryan Tannehill's, and Tannehill can still absolutely have a big game. So if it goes awry, you know, like the last time they played Jacksonville, Ryan Tannehill threw four touchdowns, finishes the QB8 on the week. So with the wide receivers he has at his disposal now, I think that Tannehill... I don't think you should overlook him. I have him as my number seven quarterback in season long, right behind Brady. But I think the industry is actually higher. I think they have him at four. So the industry clearly understands that Ryan Tannehill is a pretty safe play too.
Yep, I like that play. All right, let's go to tight end. Who's a GPP play for you, Matthew?
Yeah, pricing on DK is kind of tough some weeks, and there's some guys that I'm like, well, I don't understand this price tag. And I think other people will see that and also go, yeah, I don't either. Let's get past him. But what about Mike Gesicki in tournaments? Now, there's no way I would touch this guy with a 10-foot pole in cash lineups. However, he's $4,500 on DraftKings. They're going up against Kansas City. Clearly, we expect Patrick Mahomes to put up points on this Miami defense. And, you know, he's a guy who just oozes upside. Now, has it been consistent this year? No, of course not. But you're looking for those spike weeks in DFS where you hit a ceiling. The guy caught 9 balls last week for 88 yards and a touchdown, and 11 targets is hard to ignore. I know it's Tua and it's not Fitz, and we would prefer Fitz for fantasy to be in there, but still, you know, at that type of price tag, I don't think he's going to be rostered heavily, and he's a GPP-only type of dart throw for me this week.
Tags, how about Gesicki?
I had Gesicki. I thought I liked him, and then I started putting tight ends in my rankings because as I write up the games, basically I'm like, oh, I like this guy, and I put him in, and then as I go through it, I have to decide. All right, I'm adding this guy in there. Do I like him a little bit more? And Gesicki ultimately slid down further than I thought he would, but I don't think this is a bad call at all. I mean, since their bye week, the Chiefs have played 3 games, and in those games, they've allowed Darren Waller 7 catches for 88 yards and a touchdown, Rob Gronkowski 6 catches for 106 yards, and then Noah Fant 4 catches for 57 yards. So, I mean, I don't think it's a bad matchup. I just don't like Tua under center right now. I feel like he was a guy that was unwilling to take chances in his first couple games. Then he came out and had that statement saying, oh, I need to start throwing the ball into tighter coverage. I understand that now. Okay. Well, the touchdown that he threw to Gesicki was basically, it was a bad ball. Gesicki made a play on it.
Yep. Yeah.
Fortunately, it was against a bad defense. So I don't know if I'd classify the Chiefs as a bad defense, though. That's the part where I'm a little worried. But at the same time, I don't mind him in a tournament at all.
So who are you going with then, Tex?
There's two guys I wanted to mention. One being, I don't want to attach myself to this, but I want to say Will Dissly saw a season high 5 targets last week. He was a guy that had Achilles surgery. So that's, you know, that's like over a year recovery for that. It's one of the most difficult ones to come back from. So to see him get a season high 5 targets last week is pretty big. At 2,900 against the Jets, I think that's a Hail Mary play. And then Jordan Akins. People are going to fade Akins. They don't want to play him. I think last week people would have played him at 2,900. I think more people actually played Jordan Akins last week than they should have because it was the Colts. He was only targeted 3 times. So people are going to be like, nah, it's the same old Texans. They're just not going to target him. I think it was the matchup more than anything. The Colts are a fantastic defense. That scheme works so well against tight ends. I didn't expect anything. This week against the Bears, all of a sudden, the Bears are one of the worst teams in the league at defending tight ends. They rank as the third worst team. They've been targeted the second most. Efficiency has been there, 1.97 PPR points per target. Brandon Cooks, you know, took a big lick last week, and obviously the Bears cornerbacks are better than the Colts, and they've been playing better. You look at the matchups around, and you're kind of like trying to figure out, okay, the Texans are going to score points. It's just, where are they going to come from? And David Johnson on the ground, the Bears are not a team to run the ball against. You know, Duke Johnson, whatever. So you start going through this, and it's like, I like Kiki QT over the middle of the field, but I think you can also like Jordan Akins, 2,900.
What do you think about that one, Matthew?
Absolutely love it. He was a guy that everyone was talking about last week, got burned. So I think people are going to say, no way am I playing him again this week. But he's a very sneaky leverage play off of QT, off of Brandon Cooks. Stack him with Deshaun Watson. Absolutely love it.
All right, let's move to a DST. Who's a DST that you like this week, Matthew?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a diehard Eagles fan, and you'll be, you know, hear me say this all the time. I'm very honest. Our team is terrible right now. The team is very bad.
We all have terrible teams. Hey, the offensive line. Welcome to the band that suck.
You have come to the right podcast that you want to talk about.
I said the trifecta of crap.
Yeah, that's great. I'm going to I'll have us make a shirt
that
has that on it for sure. And then with our faces on it.
Will you send me one of those?
Yes.
Go ahead. Sorry, Matthew.
Yeah, so what is there to say, right? This Eagles team on the offensive line is totally banged up. Like, every player either out with injury or just not playing well. And Carson Wentz is not going to start this game, but he's taken a ton of sacks and he's thrown a ton of interceptions. Now, I'm excited to see what happens with Jalen Hurts, but against this Saints defense is not a spot I want to see Jalen Hurts start his career as the starter and see what happens. So it's a play based off of bad defensive, or I should say good, matchup for the defensive line of the Saints versus the offensive line of the Philly Eagles. Like, they're going to be under pressure for sure. Jalen Hurts is a rookie. What are we going to expect? I don't know, but I'm expecting turnovers in this matchup, so I'll take the Saints. They're a little priced up at $3,800 on DK, but at FanDuel, where pricing essentially isn't a thing, it doesn't matter, you can get to them. They're $4,900, so you can easily get them in your FanDuel lineup.
Yeah, tags, you know, they're the most expensive DST on the slate, so my guess is that's not where we're going to be looking. Where are you looking this week at DST?
I kid you not, Matthew. I thought you were
going to... You thought he was going Eagles,
right? I swear to God, and that's where I would actually look, at $2,200. I think they're the...
Really? All right.
They're the best value defense. So Dan knows this about me. I never pay up for defenses, and it's worked out. It never makes sense. Yeah. If there's one thing the Eagles have done well this year, it is get after the quarterback. They actually have totaled 21 sacks in 6 home games this year. And Taysom Hill, I mean, he's not a guy that it's difficult to run the ball against the Eagles. I think everybody knows that. They're allowing like around 3.4 yards per carry, something like that. They've always been that team, right? Alvin Kamara and Latavius Murray have struggled a bit as of late. So I feel like with Taysom Hill under center, you're looking for a little bit more turnovers, because the only teams that he's actually looked good against were the Falcons. That was it. I mean, legitimately, the Falcons are a team that everybody looks good against. I don't really care about that. They played against the Broncos. That Broncos defense, when they didn't have a quarterback and Taysom Hill didn't really do a whole lot, he didn't have to throw the ball a whole lot. Can Hurts be competent enough to put some points on the board? If he can, I hate the fact that they chose to start him against the New Orleans Saints, because I think it's a terrible way to bring him in to his NFL career. I think that's the worst thing to do. But I I'm always looking to save money. I'm looking for those sacks. I think they'll get those. And I am also looking for potential turnovers. And Taysom Hill has not thrown the ball against a team other than Atlanta Falcons. So it's just all about saving money. You have a home team here that generates pressure. That's basically what I'm looking for.
All right. Let's finish up with the stack of the week and a lock of the week. Start with your stack of the week. Matthew, go ahead.
Yeah, to me, it's going to be Justin Herbert stacked with Keenan Allen. I just think it's an extremely safe floor combined with a massive ceiling, like quarterback one and wide receiver one upside overall on the slate with this stack. Absolutely love it for the reasons we talked about earlier in the show. Give me Herbert and Keenan Allen.
How about you, Tex?
Well, he stole mine. I was going to say Herbert. I was actually going Herbert, Eckler, and Keenan Allen together. I think you could play all three of them.
Wow. Okay. I love it. How about lock of the week? Who do you have, Matthew?
Yeah, for me, I'm actually going to go back to that same game. And I'm going to go, we didn't talk about him much, but Austin Eckler. And for me, the reason is not necessarily in cash, but to me, he's just a standout GPP play. Love him this week, because last week, again, he was chalk. He failed for us. And I just want to attack this game for sure against the Falcons. So Austin Eckler catching passes, as Tags is saying, from Justin Herbert, to me, is a standout play this week.
How about you, Tags?
So there are certain times where you have to be willing to say, you know what, if I'm wrong on this guy, then I'm going to be dust. Like, legitimately, I have no shot. Derrick Henry's that guy this week. He could be a slate breaker in terms of, like, you know, he can go for 35 points on DK, and you're kind of there is something to be said for running backs like David Montgomery, guys like Wayne Gallman, you know, Miles Gaskin, even JD McKissick. There's something to be said for those guys and the value that they present at their cost. However, they do not have that ceiling. They don't have the ceiling of that guy can get you 30 plus points and it's going to break the slate. Derrick Henry is a guy that I can't fade this week.
Yeah, I there's no way to argue with that. I mean, this is what we've been waiting for. As good as he is, this game, the next couple of games should be just an absolute monster. So I like the call. All right, that's going to do it. Matthew, I'm glad we finally got a chance to talk. I'm a big fan of your work. Remind everybody where they can find everything that you do.
Yeah, guys. Appreciate it so much for having me on. This is a ton of fun. You can find me on Twitter at TheFantasyPT. You can find a lot of my work with the Fantasy Footballers, injury content, as well as DFS content, season-long. All that stuff is there. And then, of course, with Ball Blast Football on ballblastfootball.com.
Thank you to Pristine Auction. Don't just take my word for it. Go there. Go to Pristine Auction. Search. Look around. Sports memorabilia, non-sports memorabilia. They have it all. Go to pristineauction.com. That's P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E auction.com. So we'll be back tomorrow talking injuries with Dr. Chow and breaking down every game as we do on Friday with Dan and Kyle in the Morning with a special guest host. I will talk to them.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
Fire the grill and fire up the party. Get the Weber Searwood Pellet Grill. Smoke, roast, and sear on the same grill. Go from low and slow on smoke boost mode at 180 degrees all the way to high heat sear at 600 degrees. It's got a full grate sear zone so you can put more food on the flame. Food will look as good as it tastes. This grill is hot in 15 minutes and cleanup is easy. You can also add a heavy-duty rotisserie or rust-resistant griddle insert to up your game. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood Pellet Grill.